Okay, I have 16 speaker cards for this. Well, I was counting that as it came up. And everyone will have 3 minutes to address the board. We'll begin with Jerry Bunnan, and then Urban McLennan, Derek Hansen. Those are the first three.
Jerry Bunnan, Government Affairs Director for the Home Builders Association. I asked Dominic if I could borrow one of his slides to make a point at the end. The Home Builders Association is committed to being part of the solution. Our interest has been making sure that the upfront planning on all of this has been done so that it's realistic, practical, achievable, and avoids unintended consequences today and down the road. We also want to publicly commend the Water Board staff. It's been flexible and responsible to our input. We really appreciate that. We'd like to reaffirm for the public record our understanding of several of the responses that we got to our letters that we submitted to the staff. On the issue of deemed complete, which is quite important to us, staff has recognized that it's not normal to impose a lot of hydro modification controls and LID criteria at the deemed complete stage. And we understand that what it's added in, I believe it's item number 19, is that a project that is deemed complete prior to the city's adoption of the interim hydro modification standards will not have to redesign that project to the new requirements, hydro modification requirements. But after the interim hydro modification standards are in effect, that project, to be deemed complete, must identify the types of best management practices and their locations, but not provide a detailed finished design. We want to make sure that's a correct interpretation. Under the question of incorporating geotechnical soil consultant assessments, the staff basically said the Water Board staff expects geotechnical soils information to continue to inform site design for projects in Lompoc. What we believe that means is that the opinion and the findings of professional soil scientists that determined that infiltration is not technically feasible at a site will be used to determine what LID BMPs are going to be used to make sure that there is the most clean soil you can get there. If you can't infiltrate, that soil scientist says, this is my professional opinion, that won't work. These are the BMPs that we think will get you the maximum amount of clean water off of that site. On the issue of economic balance, both the cities and the building community would tell you we're all kind of trapped between a rock and a hard place. Not just clean water, stormwater technology. We also have AB 32, SB 375, new green building standards, and a variety of other things that are just as important to other state agencies, federal agencies, and local agencies. So it's really important that there be economic balance in there, and we believe that the staff has recognized that, and it's says through its applicability criteria, the city can propose a balance of factors such as economic, site-specific conditions, and the need for housing. We really like to see that incorporated into a BMP that recognizes that. It's specifically stated in the stormwater plan. And the last thing is, in many ways, the most important to us. That's why I had this one put up there. Infiltration rate to pre-development, we believe, is a real, I wouldn't say deal killer, but it's a project killer. So we really appreciated the staff and the response saying that infiltration rates beyond pre-project conditions is not expected. And it also noted that where infiltration is naturally limited, pre-project infiltration is limited. So post-project infiltration will be comparatively limited. It's really important that we have the flexibility to be able to use a variety of options to come up with a plan. If we had to infiltrate, for example, if that's a place we had to redesign and we had to do infiltration there, it might be so expensive that you'd never get rid of all that impervious surface. We need the flexibility. And the last point will be very quickly, is we don't really believe we have seen the technical findings that were used to make some of the determinations in number 12. you know, we've tried to be very cooperative, but we do believe that some of this stuff will have a negative impact on housing supply and cost. And we've never seen the technical findings, and we would definitely like to see them. I don't know where they were, where they are, how we get them, but we certainly have questions about that.
Okay. And Mr. Buna, number 12 is...
Excuse me, on the revised...
Resolution.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Okay.
You guys generate a lot of paper, so I didn't get it all straight on that. But
That's why I'm asking.
Yeah.
So that I'm... Right, number 12, okay.
So any questions on that?
Any board questions, comments?
Did I misstate anything in terms of my interpretation?
Number 12 is the one that... Yeah, it's the big paragraph that starts the swamp with the required revisions.
Yeah.
That's okay. We'll probably have staff address your questions maybe when we've heard through all the speakers.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay. Irvin McLennan.
Good morning. My name is Irvin McLennan. I'm a member of the Home Builders Association, and I have a few comments that will be different from Jerry's comments. First of all, I agree with Jerry that staff has been very responsive and thorough in their responses to the various letters that we've sent and other people have sent as well. But there are a few items that staff didn't necessarily agree with us that we want to bring forward at this time. One is the time frame required to develop the interim hydro modification criteria. Staff has indicated, obviously, a one-year time limit. We believe it should be 2 years. Staff has indicated that several jurisdictions have agreed to the 12-month limit. And although that may or may not be the case, for example, with Santa Maria, I don't think anybody's delivered anything within the 12-month period as yet that I'm aware of, certainly in the small MS4s. Secondly, obviously, the city of Santa Barbara is cited often for the excellent job they did. The issue that we have is that Santa Barbara is a wealthy city. They have unique ability to fund things. We think, we're estimating that perhaps that little exercise that they did, not a little one, a major one, probably cost between $250,000 and $500,000 if you combine staff time and the consultants they used. Most jurisdictions don't have that kind of money to do that. They need more time to spread that out. Another issue, I think, is that part of developing the interim criteria is technical findings. Staff has required technical findings to support that. That takes time and effort. And certainly interim criteria is not the same as a plan, but it still requires significant technical analysis and the technical findings. It takes longer than we think. Second issue is a countywide. So for that issue, we're recommending and requesting a two-year time period. Second issue is relates to a countywide technical advisory committee. Staff has encouraged this, and we also encourage that. But what we'd like to see is the staff and the board to take a more proactive role in trying to organize the municipalities in Santa Barbara County to create a countywide technical advisory committee. Now, staff has indicated they don't have the support, or the finances, I should say, to do that, the resources. The cities claim the same thing, for example, to do interim criteria. Everybody's suffering the same problem. So what we would like to see is that the staff increase the pressure and support to create a countywide technical advisory committee, which has worked very successfully and is working successfully in the county of San Diego. Finally,
excuse me, one clarification.
Yes.
On that last point.
Yes.
When you say you want staff to coordinate, you're talking about regional board staff?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm asking the regional board staff to take a more proactive and leadership role, mm-hmm, in trying to organize all the municipalities in Santa Barbara County to create a technical advisory committee.
Okay.
One other point, last point, relates to smart growth, and we believe that the proposed standards will negatively impact smart growth and promote sprawl. The current land planning philosophy is being encouraged and mandated on municipalities are designed to reduce sprawl and to encourage infill development in order to limit negative impacts of full-fledged sprawl on the environment. We believe that the full application of the proposed standards will make smart growth and infill potentially financially infeasible. And we think that what we should have here is the ability, again, to balance the competing factors. It's very important for the jurisdictions to be able to balance the competing factors that they really have to face. By the way, on the technical advisory stuff, I think there are many, many reports and studies on various things as to what works or doesn't work, what costs more and what costs less. Mm-hmm. The CASCO letter points out that many of these issues are in controversy, and you can go on the web and pick up studies on both sides of the issue. So we have to be careful that we're not using selective science to buttress our points. So basically, on this particular point, we just want to make sure that the swamps include the ability to balance the various factors that they face, including housing, economics, as well as water quality.
Okay. How would smart growth be impacted?
Well, basically, smart growth is talking about concentrating growth in the cities and not sprawl. Now, what's happening, and we believe that as you look at improved cities, basically redevelopment activities, that you don't have the land to do many of the things you might do if you were starting a project outside a highly dense urban environment. For example, if you're outside a city, the edge of a city, or outside the city limits, or away from a dense urban environment, you can allocate land, much more land, to swales, to detention, to stuff like this. You're disconnecting. It's a better ability to disconnect and provide land for doing water quality items and putting them in. If you're talking about a high density constrained environment, which the urban environment is, the cost to do that increase significantly. And we believe that as the Watershed Protection, I'm not sure which organization, there's so many organizations, has indicated, I think Stacy talked about, that they've indicated that it's significantly more expensive to apply these techniques in a redevelopment area than in a normal, let's say, non-high-density urbanized area. So that's one of our concerns. Whether you end up with underground tanks or whatever you might do to sort of apply fully all of the things we're trying to achieve, we're all trying to achieve, you have to balance that with the ability and the economics of actually producing a project that is smart growth in a high-density area. So our concern is, and one of the concerns we have here is there are lots of studies, but they're not on the Central Coast. Mm-hmm. And so we have to develop information and studies of what's really going to happen in the Central Coast. I don't think any projects have applied the techniques we're talking about. So we have to really get more information, and it is a five-year process that everybody's in a learning process.
But is there any reason why projects from other coasts would not be applicable to this coast or other areas? I mean, why?
Well, you really have to look at them. You really have to look at the situation. Soils, you have to look at rainfall, you have to look at what they're really doing. For example, what's the specific project in the specific area, and what are the costs involved? Now, I'm eager to look at studies, and I always look at studies, the same studies everybody else does, and you want to look at what things work, but one thing that always triggers in my mind is what doesn't work. What cost more? Why was this project more when all the others said it's less? That's what we have to sometimes look at. Mm-hmm. It's not necessary. I'm not necessarily saying that, for example, that anything done outside the Central Coast is not applicable. It may be applicable, but I think it takes further study. We just can't automatically say, "Oh, here's a study from Maryland; that's going to work here." Mm-hmm. It takes further analysis.
I see the swamp as being. It's an iterative process. It's a developing process.
Sure.
I mean, there is a lot of flexibility within which each of our permittees can develop their own plan, and it allows them a lot of creativity. So
well, based on some of the staff input we've had, we're coming to agree with that. And all we're saying is that we should keep that in mind. we should keep moving forward. That's why, for example, in my first item, we're asking for 2 years
right.
to develop this criteria. But yes, I think flexibility and the ability to make it site-specific or city or jurisdiction-specific is very important. I think that is important, and that's one of the things that we agree on.
Okay. We Thank agree you. On that. Thank you. Derek Hansen, followed by Craig Stewart, and then Tom Favram.
Also, folks, the reason we have the lights up here, and I'll probably sound like Tom Brokaw in the second presidential debates, but if when the red light goes on, if you could conclude your sentence and finish up, we'd sure appreciate it because it's not fair to everybody else. I realize if you're answering questions, that's another story. We do stop the clock for that. But otherwise, if you could conclude, we'd really appreciate it. Thanks.
Good morning. My name is Derek Hansen. I'm the incoming president of the Home Builders Association and also a resident of Lompoc. So if you need any information as far as Lompoc, I think I can, I've walked that area enough to be able to tell you about how it works. Essentially, the HBA and the cities and counties you regulate cannot emphasize enough the difficulties and complexities being raised in such uncharted waters, and no pun intended with that. I think you can see with the conversations we're having here today that it is a complicated issue. It takes a lot of forethought, and it takes a lot of planning. And we hope that you keep that in your considerations in your processes. One of the things that we'd like to introduce into the public record for Lompoc and all of the regional swamps is the referred to CASCA letter, the California Stormwater Quality Association. This letter was addressed to Mr. Briggs, the member of the board, as well as copied to the state board. And in it, it just discusses a few items that I'd like to bring to your attention, just kind of in a brief summary to make everyone aware of what it is. The focus on the second page of this is actually into that infiltration item that is up for debate right now. Also, you know, CASCA does recognize and it does endorse Regional Water's attempts for LIDs. This is not an organization that is directly related to any home builders associations or anything such as that. CASCA typically refrains from commenting on issues associated with specific regional boards. However, the implications of your notification letter, and this is verbatim from their letter, of February 15, 2008, are significant, and we believe inconsistent with the current standard of practice of stormwater quality management. This is an independent person sending this letter to the board. They also commented, Phase 1 communities are expending significant effort and resources, yet still struggling to meet the technical challenges of developing appropriate hydro modification and LID criteria that are both practical and that will lead to achieving our water quality goals. Placing such an effort on Phase 2 communities is inherently impractical as they lack the technical and financial resources to deal with this complex issue. I think that's a real point. The reality of small towns right now, especially right now, we all are feeling the sting of finance. That type of situation, it does need to be extended. There is not the capital to do extensive studies to actually finalizing. The Phase 1 programs have been expending significant effort on the technical challenges of developing appropriate hydro modification criteria for a number of years. Since 2001, the San Francisco Bay Area Phase 1 permittees have been working to address this issue, yet there is still no accepted common approach. I think when we're talking about the situation with studies and such, we have documented studies inside of our own state in San Francisco, which does have typical, same type of situation that we have here, and they haven't found an answer. Us finding an answer is difficult quickly. To wrap things up, it is our recommendation that the Water Board and staff should respond to the CASCA letter and its points in the same fashion it has replied to other comments on the Lompoc SWMP, prior to the final adoption of the Central Coast SWMPs. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Craig Stewart, Tom Favram, and then Thomas Rowe.
Could I just make one point for the record that the letter he's referring to was not submitted on with reference to the Lompoc item?
Correct. And that's the one Dr. Hunter asked about.
My name is Craig Stewart. I'm a civil engineer practicing hydrology, hydraulics in the South Coast area throughout Santa Barbara County. My comments will be more in general than just to the Lompoc situation. And I'd just like to say that I am very concerned about the approaches that are giving equal criteria for redevelopment in urban areas to the same criteria being used on a bare piece of land, undeveloped land. Essentially, the problem there is that you're given. I've had opportunities to work with developing an existing shopping center that then wants to redevelop, and all of a sudden they're being thrown back to not just pre-development criteria, but pre-project conditions to compare to, but to pre-development conditions, which is anybody's guess what it is in the first place. But in order to meet that, then you have a lot of constraints that make it hard for infiltration next to building foundations. You have constraints with the infrastructure, et cetera, that makes it so that you're going to have developers wanting to develop on a bare piece of land instead of wanting to develop this infrastructure. What you're going to end up with is you're going to end up with urban sprawl, people wanting to go outside of the urban limits, and you're going to end up with urban blight. One of the other concerns is on the hydro modification, as it seems to be one size fits all blanket. We want hydro modification in all projects. I work at UCSB, and why is there a need for hydro modification at UCSB where the storm drains go directly out to the ocean? It's not affecting a downstream stream or watershed. There should be no concern with hydro modification. I've had a lot of experience with the city of Santa Barbara. Swamp has been mentioned. I've had a lot of experience working there. In fact, I've probably been the only engineer who has completed a substantial project using those criteria. And what it's in the last year, as far as I know, there's been no major project approved in the city of Santa Barbara because they've been trying to apply the conditions of the swamp. And the project that I've worked on is essentially said the conditions we have to meet, we have to reduce the development by two-thirds. That doesn't sound very economical to me, and we've tried very hard to meet those requirements.
Can you wrap it up?
I can wrap it up. I have some recommendations that I'd like to make. I'd like to ask that the board consider different criteria for redevelopment and new development. I'd like to make sure that as items are considered, the location is really important, as in UCSB, and just getting it right, understanding how to make these swamps work is really important. They need time to try it out and say, with a real project, and say, does it work? Because obviously the city of Santa Barbara is not working real well without having to make a lot of exceptions. And thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. I'm just making some notes. Okay. This is Mr. Fayram?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Tom Fayram with the County of Santa Barbara Public Works Department. I'd like to welcome you all to Santa Barbara. Appreciate you having your hearing today. Try to be brief. I wanted to touch base on a couple of things that were talked about and some of the fears of the feasibility of applying HydroMod to our future development and our redevelopment. And what I heard in the testimony is some flexibility that is encouraging. However, I also fear that there's also talking about, but as the cities and then ultimately the county develop the hydro modification criteria, it still has to comply with the February 15th letter. So I don't know if there's flexibility or not. And as Craig said, one size fits all, I don't think is the right way to go about it. I also am in charge of our flight control district, so as a HydroMod topic, we would support that because obviously the water that gets discharged downstream then affects the activities of the flood control district. However, in each individual case, I think it's important to look at, well, what is the impact and is there an impact? In Lompoc, for example, you've heard a lot about the channels and the river downstream. Is there a hydromod impact from Lompoc? The San Ynez River has flood flows that are tens of thousands of cubic feet per second. So how does that interact with whether there's an impact or not? And on the hydromod criteria, what concerns me is that with a statement that talks about your post-development hydrograph has to be within 1% of the pre-development hydrograph, can you really achieve that? Is that technically feasible to even achieve it? Will you get representation that it is but it isn't? And is that needed? Is it really needed? What one thing we've looked at for the past 30 or 40 years in the flood control district is regulating the peak flows, which I think is important and probably achieves a lot of the goals that you're looking for. Does that need to be achieved throughout the whole spectrum of the hydrograph? I'm open to discussion on that. I don't know if it does or not, probably case-by-case basis. And then regarding the discussion of a countywide technical committee, I think that's a good idea. We've attempted to try to pull that together. I think there should be such an activity between the cities and the county and the regional board staff, and we'd like to come together and find something that works for us. And we hope that your board and your staff then will really take advantage of the expertise that we have here as the cities and the counties and consider that and not just accept something that was done in Maryland because maybe it works there. It may not work here. And please, by all means, use the expertise of your local agencies. And again, welcome to Santa Barbara and thank you.
Thank you. Thomas Rowe, followed by Barbara Lynch, and then Jill Falcone.
Hello, my name is Thomas Rowe. I'm a registered professional engineer. I have experience in hydrology, hydraulics. I live in the city of Lompoc. In fact, I live in the cul-de-sac development that was presented here today. I split my career both in the public sector and private sector as well. First, I would like to point out one of the items that was represented in the EPA fact sheet on phase two projects. And what it identifies specifically is the phase two rule applies to redevelopment projects that are alter the footprint of an existing site or building in such a way that there's a disturbance or disturbance of the area equal or greater than 1 acre. The February 15th letter goes severely below that. It identifies areas that are 5,000 square feet for redevelopment that need to occur for hydromodification. It also identifies the 5% basis, which we've heard about for equivalent effective pervious area. We have not received any identification from, or at least I'm not aware of any identification of how that was determined, except for the University of Maryland professor that's very familiar with that. That was a term that they've agreed to. But keep in mind that the hydrographs generated by the Soil Conservation Service that we use in hydrology are different on the East Coast and the West Coast. We have type 1 hydrographs, type 2, type 3, very different standards, and the shape of hydrographs are not the same, and the rainfall intensities are not the same for the areas. So that needs to be considered and thought out.
But, you know, to my thinking, that just means so that your configuration of BMPs are going to be different. Not that they're not going to work. Not that the different assemblages of LID components are not applicable. And if they work elsewhere, they'll work here. But when you start to look at site-specific hydrographs and things of that nature, so you're going to design your BMPs to be a little bit different. That's the way I read that.
What I'm trying to tell you is that the 5% criteria might not be equivalent between the East Coast and the West Coast, because you need to look at the specific rainfall intensities that occur at each area.
Okay.
And so we have a very different rainfall intensity curve on the West Coast than we do on the East Coast, and I spent a significant part of my career in the Midwest, and I'm very aware of a significant rainfall intensity is.
Okay.
And so they aren't equivalent, and so there needs to be further study to determine why the 5% criteria is appropriate and applicable.
Okay.
Sir, would you also use that same argument from Northern California to Southern California?
I would have to go back and look at the distribution curves that are presented in the Soil Conservation Service report. You know, I'd have to look at the type of hydrographs that you would have to be able to answer that appropriately. If they are equivalent, the hydrographs are equivalent, then possibly. As I said, I live in the development that was presented with the cul-de-sacs. The way that development operates is that there's a storm drain system, and it all goes into the basin. The downspouts are not hydraulically connected to the streets, as the city does not even allow you to core the curbs to do that, because I personally know that, because I can't do that at my house. I think it achieves objectives of the BMPs that are required, because it all goes into a basin. The basin actually acts as an infiltration type basin. The stormwater is caught in the flow guard type inserts, socks that are put into the stormwater inlets. And then the discharge of the basin, it's not overtopped. I mean, on a regular storm event, it allows for percolation. You saw in the picture that Dominic presented, the basin currently has water in it, and has water on it most of the year. So there just needs to be some additional thought in trying to determine how the criteria will be met. The idea of a 1% storm hydrograph, you know, from pre- and post-development to be the same, you know, I'm going to struggle with that. How do I make that occur? You know, what does it mean? Does it mean the area under the total curve? Does it mean I have to be 1% variability from the line and look at, do a regression analysis? You know, that seems very arbitrary to me.
Okay.
Again, thank you for your time.
Thank you. Barbara Lynch, Jill Falcone, and then Steve Wagner.
It's good afternoon now, Chairman and members of the board. My name is Barbara Lynch. I'm Deputy Director for Public Works with the City of San Luis Obispo. The City of San Luis Obispo supports the City of Lompoc and objects to the conditions required to be included in Lompoc's swamp and outlined in the February letter. These items present a significant cost to agencies. We understand the cost of hydromodification plans for some of the large Phase 1 regions are over $750,000. Even if half such a sum is required to do that for the smaller agencies, that's very significant to local budgets. At a time when agencies are feeling the pinch of declining property tax, sales tax, and tourist dollars, not to mention the overhanging dark cloud of the state's finances, these additional provisions are going to push local agencies into an adversarial relationship with the board. The councils and Board of Supervisors are not going to want to sacrifice their police and fire services to achieve these conditions. There's already significant costs associated with implementing these programs without the new provisions. The City of San Luis Obispo currently has an annual operation budget of $500,000 for this program and spent an additional $500,000 for equipment. City staff obtained that support from our council for that funding by explaining the appropriateness of the implementation measures that were outlined in our draft swamp at the time. And because the city was in generally good fiscal condition at the time, we will not be able to do that now, when these measures clearly are above and beyond the reasonable expectation of any Phase 2 community, and there are serious concerns about finances. To date, it appears that one vocal constituency has had the ear of the board staff to change the definition of MEP, a group that does not deal with the realities of local government operations. I know I was disturbed as a municipality to sort of hear that I'm not a stakeholder in this process. I request that the board remove the additional provisions outlined in the February letter from the permits for Lompoc and the other MS4s and direct staff to set working meetings, not conduct outreach. Include the MS4s, environmental groups, and the development community to come to a consensus on what MEP is as it relates to the February letter. As mentioned by board staff, the plans are flexible, So when consensus is reached, the plan can be changed to incorporate the new requirements without interfering with this enrollment schedule that we are in right now. We are not asking for a delay. Failure to do this will mean each board hearing will become a discussion largely centered around the requirements of this February letter. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Jill Falcone, Steve Wagner, and then Doug Pike.
Jill Falcone, County of San Luis Obispo Stormwater Management Program. I'm here today to support the city of Lompoc and to object to the inclusion of the February 15th letter in the stormwater management programs throughout the region. A bit of history. 1 year ago, at your October 19th, 2007 board meeting, a group of MS4s, including myself, met with you to discuss asking you to approve our swamps expeditiously and to work collaboratively with us. Your outgoing counsel, Lori Okun, advised you to avoid the use of underground regulations. Those were her exact words at the time, meaning requirements over and beyond the current general permit. We discussed our worries that the use of a regional type permit would bring phase one requirements to small phase two communities that had not yet even had the experience of one swamp implementation cycle under their belts. At that time, you assured us that that would not happen. 1 year later, here we are. Instead of expeditious swamp approvals in line with the current general permit, we find ourselves again with requests for public hearings and conflict. The February 15th letter includes requirements over and beyond the current general permit. In fact, requirements beyond the current phase one requirements. The letter, the February 15th letter, came as a total surprise to the municipalities and to the development community. There had been no prior discussion with us, no prior public stakeholder process. And in fact, regional board staff says that there were constituents involved. But who were those constituents? Some special interest group? They certainly didn't involve the major stakeholder groups that would be the regulated entities. We were not involved. When the letter came out, small cities were given 6 months to develop plans for something they had never even heard of. The word hydro modification does not appear even once in the current general permit. As we speak, there are significant issues that have not been resolved across the entire state. There is no consensus about hydro modification controls, especially in Ventura County. These issues are highly significant and can result in unintended consequences that would be a major setback for LID implementation in our region. It is inconceivable that such significant regulation would be imposed so quickly without an adequate public process to prevent major errors from occurring. You can see from the conversations today, there are a lot of questions being raised. Since all of the major issues underlying the February 15th can't raise today, please take a look at CASCA's letter. So today, please direct staff to remove the references to the February 15th letter from the Lompoc Swamp and subsequent swamps. Thank you.
Ms. Falcone, you cite to the October meeting that we had here in Santa Barbara.
Yes.
Well, the February letter was simply an outgrowth of the discussion we had here at that meeting.
And December.
The board discussed its vision and its goals for stormwater. So staff came up with that letter of February 15th. That's where it comes from.
But the only thing that I saw publicly was about the schedule. Only there was no public process involving hydro modification or any of that. The only public process was about the actual implementation schedule.
Okay. I mean, I understand that, but staff has been outreaching with phase two permittees.
After the fact.
Okay.
I would know
I understand,
about it. If this came as a surprise to the MS4s. I would certainly know, because I'm an MS4.
I understand. Okay, thank you for your comments. Steve Wagner.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the board. Steve Wagner with the City of Goleta. I'm the Public Works Director, City Engineer. And there were a few things said today I want to clarify or correct. We were told it's really not about HydroMod so much, it's MEP. It is about HydroMod. That's what everybody is here speaking to you about. There's a lot of concern about the HydroMod. You're also told except for Santa Maria, no one else has requested a hearing. We have requested a hearing. We want to get in front of you and continue this discussion on HydroMod. We have requested a hearing for that purpose. And really, it's the same for the same reasons that a lot of the same reasons that Lompoc has. The July 6th letter that was sent out to clarify the February 15th letter didn't relax the stringent standards and criteria that the February 15th letter put forth. As we try to apply these things, we are very concerned with the ability for redevelopment and development projects to go forward. We talked a lot about effective impervious area today. That's only one of the criteria in here that is, in my opinion, too strict to put on our agencies. The other issues that we've talked about is the overall implementation schedule. We're not here saying that HydroMod is bad. We think HydroMod controls are important and are an important tool for stormwater management. But when you look to the Phase 1 communities that have been involved in this for several years, the amount of money and effort that they've spent to date and with no clear answer is impressive. We've heard budgets of $800,000 for some. We're smaller agencies. They've been bigger agencies, have been working on it for years. We're given a year to fix this issue and develop the science to back up some HydroMod criteria. Lompoc presented a reasonable HydroMod criteria, reasonable HydroMod criteria standards today. We would request that you consider adoption of those standards, not these interim standards. They are too restrictive. When I'm back before you, I'm hope to bring back some real on-the-ground projects so you can see how these are technically and economically infeasible for very real projects that we're dealing with. The timeline's too tight. The amount of work and effort involved in this is pretty large. We're going to request at least 2 years to respond to this. You know,
You're speaking for the City of Goleta?
No, yeah. this is in response to I'm speaking for the City of Goleta here, because we have requested a public hearing for this reason.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Doug Pike, followed by Leroy Cadena, and then Ellen Pritchett.
Thank you. Yes, my name is Doug Pike, and I'm a 26-year resident of Lompoc, and I also happen to be a professional registered civil engineer involved in projects both from the public side and the private side for the last 25 years of my career. One of my areas of specialization is the authorship of engineering and development standards, including drainage standards. And I'm not going to go into the technical aspects of why I agree with the concerns that have been expressed over the hydromodification impositions of the February 14th letter, just to say that I agree with it. And the way I figure it, there's about 150 years of professional engineering experience here that all has the same concerns. But mine's a little different. I, like some of these other folks, I'm a volunteer in my community. I was on the Planning Commission for 5 years and was chairman when we formulated the current redevelopment agency. Our community has between 60 and 65% of the land area within the city designated as blighted. Can you say the same for your community? No. It's unique. It's different. Therefore, redevelopment needs to be treated differently. What the impacts will have is, I don't think it's infeasible. I'm also a dam engineer, DAM, and we can build you a dam out of popcorn if you have enough money. But the fact of the matter is these hydro modification requirements will stagnate what we're attempting to do as a community. I also volunteer with a private social services agency for the last 12 years, distributing goods, services, rent assistance, counseling to the poor. We're special because we're the welfare hub of the county, and folks from other parts of the community come to Lompoc as a last resort. And we counsel them to go to the Midwest when they can't survive there. If we stop the redevelopment effort because of difficult hydro requirements, then what we're going to do is impact further the social well-being, health of our community. And that's where I have an interest and a concern. And would just encourage you to recognize that one size does not fit all. Lompoc is different. And every community ought to have a chance to be encouraged by the staff's statement that they are flexible. I don't get the sense that's the case, and perhaps my voice has no value, but I'm here as a citizen to express that. Thanks.
Thank you for your comments.